Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message is the gospel lesson, the account given to us of Jesus' conversation with Peter. Well, Pete Rose Jr., the son of the baseball all-time hits leader, had a long professional career, though almost all of it in the minor leagues. He was interviewed by a reporter and asked about what he did when he got into a slump, and naturally assumed that he would ask his famous father for advice on hitting. And Pete Rose Jr. replied, "No, actually, I call my mom." The reporter was kind of shocked, and he said, "Well, Dad didn't bother with the technical stuff, but Mom knew my swing." We look to mothers for advice, do we not? And sometimes mothers are known to give advice even when not asked. We associate advice with mothers. This came to my mind as I was reading through the gospel lesson, because at the end, it seems like Jesus is telling Peter, "Don't worry about John, you worry about yourself." And when I read that, it ringed through to me about my mom, I don't know how many times, saying, "You don't worry about Tom, you worry about yourself, Steve." But it reminds me how easily we can get distracted from the task that we are given. For a variety of reasons, whether we're worried about somebody else or worried about something else. How is it that we get so distracted? That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to go over this conversation between Peter and our Lord and be reminded that we are called to focus on Christ. Just as Peter was, we are as well. And to avoid the distractions that come, we focus on the one who has called us, who has redeemed us, who has forgiven us, and who loves us. So we go back to the text, and what we have here is the third visit of our Lord to his disciples, and it's very clear that Jesus has come to his disciples to restore them. And they needed restoration, right? You think back to Maundy Thursday and what happened with Peter. He had sinned. He had denied knowing the Lord three times. But it isn't just that he denied knowing the Lord, but what happened leading up to that. When Jesus makes the prediction that all the disciples will scatter, Peter demonstrates his pride when he says, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Sounds pretty prideful, right? Telling Jesus he's wrong and telling Jesus that he would never give in, not like the rest of them. Jesus came to restore Peter. He had come as that hymn we read or just sang tells the story. He came on the shore as Peter and the disciples are fishing, and he repeats the original call. He brings about this miraculous catch of fish, and John recognizes that it's the Lord, and Peter runs in, and Jesus hosts breakfast. He's restoring them, and after breakfast, he gives Peter a specific opportunity on three occasions to say, "I love you, Lord," matching the denials. But notice how it starts out. Jesus also addresses Peter's idea of hubris or of pride when he says to Peter directly, "Do you love me more than these?" Doesn't that ring back to Peter's boastful statement that even if all of them fail, I will not? Jesus is addressing all of his sins so that the whole thing can be restored. He wants Peter restored. And so he tells Peter each time he says that he loves him, "Follow, feed my lambs." And then in the end says, "Follow me." And as Jesus reaches out to Peter, he is fully restored. He's forgiven, he's restored, even to his calling. And as we look at this, we should see that this very thing has happened to you today. Jesus came to Peter on the shore. Jesus comes to you today. Because your sins match those of Peter, do they not? Haven't we denied our Lord? We're very specifically called to live a life that is different than the world, to not follow the way of the world, to live uniquely in following God's will and God's word and God's law. But yet, examine your life. Does it really look that much different than your neighbor's? How often doesn't it just blend in with what everybody else is doing? Peter had pride. Do you have pride? Ever set yourself above others? Ever set yourself above others, compared them yourself with them? How many times do we compare to ourselves and we come out kind of favorably on the end? Jesus comes to you today to restore you. You heard it announced earlier that you are forgiven because Christ has died for you. He has risen for you. You are restored. And just as Peter had the opportunity to say to Jesus that I love you, you have that opportunity today. That's the design of the liturgy, right? We make our confession and we hear the announcement of forgiveness. We hear his word. And what do we get to do after that? We get to confess the creed. Is that not a statement of our faith, of our love for the Lord? Do we not express our love in our prayers and our hymns? We get the opportunity to be restored and to respond to God and his love for us. And in this, we are reminded God has a plan. God had a plan for Peter, right? After each time that he says that I love you, he responds to him. And it's interesting. When Peter was first called, Jesus used the image of a fisherman, right? I will make you fishers of men. Now he uses the image of a shepherd. After Peter says, I love you, Jesus says, feed my sheep, tend my flock. It's the same calling, is it not? To proclaim the word of God, to bring the word of God to others. Peter not only is restored, he's restored fully because he has a plan for him. And God has a plan for you. Your restoration today has brought you back to your calling. Everyone who is a child of God, a believer in God, a believer in Christ, has a calling. You've been called by God to share his love with others. You've been called by God to share it in your words and in your actions. That the way that you live out your life shows that you love your neighbor and those God has placed in your life. And that you also, when you have the opportunity to speak about it, to explain where this love comes from and why you do the things that you do, that calling has been restored. But again, this gets back to what I brought up in the introduction. It's easy to get distracted. It's what happens to Peter, right? After Jesus has done this miraculous catch of fish, after he has restored him, asking him the questions, he then tells them, he gives them a warning that life will be difficult. And in fact, he explains to Peter that he's going to die a martyr's death. And after all of that, after the warning, after the questions, after the miraculous catch of fish, what is Peter concerned about? He looks over at John and says, what about this man? How distracted is he? The idea that all of this, and he's worried about what's happening to John. You know, Peter is a fascinating person within the scripture, right? A lot of us are kind of drawn to follow him. And the reason we are is we so often see ourselves in him. And can we not see ourselves in Peter today as well? As Peter is distracted, worried about what's happening to John, aren't we not at times distracted? Worried about what others are doing? Have you ever been worried about other people on the job pulling their own weight, doing everything they're supposed to, working as hard as you do? You ever had those thoughts, why do I always have to do everything? Why does it always fall to me? Whether in an organization or a job or within the church or within the family? How often aren't we worried about the fairness of what other people are receiving? Are they getting what they deserve and we somehow judge it by what we've gotten? We're offended when someone is given more than they deserve, or we're given less than what we think we deserve. It's real easy for us to be distracted as well. But our Lord has a real clear word for us. When Peter gets distracted with John, Jesus says, if it's my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Isn't just Jesus just reminding Peter, don't worry about John. I got him. He's in my hands. I'll take care of him. You worry about what I have set before you. You follow me. And that's exactly what Peter does. We see it in the book of Acts. He feeds the lambs, right? And you and I are still fed by Peter. We still have those books that Peter written that are in the text and are in the text of Scripture. We're still being fed and tended by Peter. And Jesus has the same word for you and for me. When we get distracted for whatever reason, Jesus says, follow me. If we're distracted because we're worried about others and their fairness, Jesus says, I have them. Don't worry, I'll take care of them. If we're worried about family and friends for other reasons, their health or where they are going, their faith life, and all those other things, Jesus says, don't worry, I have them. He tells us that we don't have to worry because he's God. He's in control. We don't have to worry about all those other distractions that want to pull us away. All we have to do is follow him. And when we follow him, we fulfill the role that God has given us. When our focus is on him and our calling to love him, how can we not love those around us? When we see how much our Lord has loved us, how much he's given, how he's suffered, how he's died, how he's risen, how he provides, even though we don't deserve it, how can we not love our neighbor, our family, our friends, our coworker, the people that we come in contact with? When we're focused on him and all that he's done, as when we were in the scriptures and hearing his words of love for us, how can we not speak about him? How can we not share that love with others, not only in our actions, but also in our words? The key for Peter and the key for us is to follow him. Focus on him. And then everything else falls in place. As we conclude, I mentioned earlier that Peter is one who fascinates many of us. And we are fascinated him because of his failings, his frailties, and his difficulties. We can identify. But today we're reminded that there's another part of Peter that we should really follow. What we see in Peter today is one who receives God's grace. That's how we follow Peter. Today we are reminded of the wonderful picture of God's grace that is extended to absolutely everyone, and you and I are included. We rejoice that God has grace for us, and he extends that grace to us today. We rejoice that you have been forgiven. Rejoice that you have been restored. Rejoice that you have been called. Rejoice that you have been loved and will be loved eternally. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.